Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. Find that in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. This morning we'll begin reading in verse number 20, and we'll read all the way through verse number 25. We'll do so responsively. I'll begin reading in verse number 20, and you'll join me on verse number 21. We'll do that all the way through verse number 25. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. 2 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him, and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and out of princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessel of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and in every several city of Judah he made him high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked the anger of the Lord God of his fathers." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the work of this weekend so far. Lord, folks that have been saved, Lord, those that received the gospel and encouragement from people here in this room. But Lord, we're here this morning, a needy people. Lord, we ask that you do something special in our midst this morning. Lord, we ask as the man of God preaches your word that, Lord, our hearts would be in tune with your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, that our minds would be focused on the truth. There's a lot going on, but Lord, may we set those things aside. So the way that way this morning we can receive what we need, Lord, to do more for you, to become better and grow closer to you. We'll ask that you bless this morning, and we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it's a very interesting story. Ahaz is the king of Israel. He became king at the age of 20 years old. By 2 Chronicles chapter 28, he's been king for the last 16 years. So here's a young man, 36 years old, and King Ahaz was not a spiritual man. He not only allowed, but he himself worshipped false gods. To be the king of Israel and worship a false god is kind of a that's kind of a bad thing. That's like bringing communism to America, similar to somebody today. Yes. He got into many battles as a nation. Israel fought and has been fighting ever since. And he began to lose a lot of battles. He began to feel the pressure, and a lot of the people of Israel have been killed or held captive. By the age of 36, Ahaz has a mess on his hands, and he doesn't know what to do. He goes to the king of Assyria, or Syria. His name is Tiglath-Pileser, or however you want to say it. Good luck. You say, well, you didn't say that right, preacher. Let's have you get up in public and try it once, all right? He took some of the riches from the temple of God, some of the wealth, the gold, the silver, and the money, and he takes it to this king and says, here, I'll give this to you if you'll give me some help. He said, I'll take what you have, but I'm not helping you. And Ahaz let him have it and walked away. Matter of fact, we see here in verse number 20, it says, and he came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. He said, not only will I not help you, but he began to rip on him. He did not help him at all. Then King Ahaz goes back to the temple, and he takes the rest of the gold and the silver things, and the Bible says he cut it in pieces. And he built false gods all around Israel and Judah for people to worship false gods made from the wealth of the temple of God. Wow. Still, the king of Assyria refuses to help him. He begins sacrificing to these false gods. And he goes to Damascus to try to get help. Can I tell you something? Listen to this statement. People don't handle stress well. People don't handle distress well. Look at our nation. Our nation does not handle pressure well. Most people don't handle pressure well. Matter of fact, many people end up doing foolish things because of pressure. Suicide rate is up almost 30% in America in the last year. 30%. The murder rate is skyrocketing. Can I tell you why? Because we've had a communist takeover, almost. And anybody that comes in leading people by fear should not be listened to. If you have to make people afraid to follow you, and somebody that's going to keep you afraid to keep your following is not worth following. My Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Guess who the insane ones are? It's not us. I know what bathroom to use. I don't have to wonder if I'm a man or a woman. I don't have to get up every day and decide. And they want to call me insane? Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm just getting started. Hang on. We often call these times of stress and distress being in the valley. It's, in other words, we're going through a low time or a low place in life. The sides are steep. You feel like the pressure's coming in. It's dark. Everything's weighing in on top of you. You're feeling closed in. We all face valleys in life. But guess what? You don't have to build a house there. Too many people, when they face a valley, they plopper down and quit and build a house there and complain about being in the valley. Guess what? You don't have to live there. Those tough times come. Those valleys come. Those times of testing and opposition and stress and distress, they are going to come. But may I say something? You don't have to live there. God wants us to get through the valley, not stop and dwell in the valley. Please don't get angry with me. I am not a Norman Vincent Peale power of positive thinking person. You can think positively all you want, and bad things are still going to happen. Well, I just think everything is going to be so positive. God bless you. You haven't lived very long. Bad things happen to everybody. Say why? Because we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, there's consequences for sin. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to suffer forever. Can I tell you something? And please don't take this as me lifting me up. I've just learned an awful lot. You can ask my wife. You can ask my children. You can ask anybody that knows me well. I don't live in the valley. I go through the valleys, but I get through them pretty quick. I don't live in depression. I jokingly say, I don't live with stress. I give it. I don't get it. I face a lot of pressure. I can't tell you, but one time in the last 10 years, I went 7 days without hearing of a death. Every week of my life, I deal with somebody dying. That's not an exaggeration. I deal with bad news constantly. If you had the news that came across my desk or through my phone in the last 7 days, most of you would hibernate for the rest of your life. And yet I'm here to encourage you and to get you up and not be down myself. When my mom passed away, of course, life was, you know, dad had COVID and he was down. Mom passed away. I'm dealing with all that, trying to, mom passed away and Shannon's family had a death, and I was 40 minutes after I got the phone call, mom was in heaven. I was meeting with them in my office to plan that funeral service. I drove home. On my way home, Mrs. Diener's husband, I got word that he had just passed away, and talking with her and her family, finally getting to my family to deal with the death of my mom. Preached the funeral on Friday, preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, preached mom's funeral Monday, preached Mrs. Diener's husband's memorial service on Tuesday, preached Wednesday night church, and kept going. Can I tell you something? You can do it. Oh, I didn't say it was easy. But I did not stand before you and say, oh, poor me. Please pray for me. I'm not having a good time right now. Nobody was having a good time. But it wasn't about poor me. It was about meeting your needs, not just mine. Everybody doing okay? You can face a valley. You can go through a valley and not be depressed. You can have stress and distress all around you and not freak out. Is that a bad term? My wife will tell you, I'm not one of these people that panics. I have very little panic in me. I've learned how to stay calm under fire. My son Jeff is in the Air Force, and he had some advanced training recently, and he was doing the what they call the mud course. It's a 200-yard course that you low crawl and high crawl and going through the mud pit and doing the Russian drop and roll back for 200 yards. It's just a lot of fun. My son said, finally, this is what I came into the military for. I mean, he's a little bit like his dad, a little crazy. But the whole time you're doing this, they're shooting M240 rounds right over top of your head. So you got bullets whizzing over your head to keep you down. And we're not talking paintballs, we're talking bullets. He said, Dad, it was fun. He said, I was hoping we'd get to do it again. He said, we got to do the course twice. I was hoping we're going to do it again. You say, what is that? He has learned not to panic under fire. And you've got to get to the point when stress comes, you can't keep it from coming to you, but you don't have to invite it in to live with you the rest of your life. Stress comes to me daily. But can I tell you something? I don't live with stress. I don't live all stressed out. I don't allow stress to come and stay with me. You say, but preacher, you don't understand my problem. You don't understand my God. So, you face a valley. How do we get through the valley? Number one, God is God in the valley. God is God in the valley. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. It's just back about, 50, 70 pages or so. 1 Kings chapter 20. Can I show you a verse that ought to make you want to shout? Some of you ought to mark it, memorize it. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 28. And there came a man of God, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Hey, the Syrian army came and said, Look, your God's a God of the mountaintops, but he's not God in the valleys. And God says, Watch out, I'm going to deliver my people. God's not just God on the mountaintop. God's God when you're going through the valley. Hey, Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can I tell you something? The key to going through the valley is to go through the valley, not stop. Notice the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Too many people stop in the valley. When you get to the valley in life, don't stop, keep walking. You may not run, you may not jog, you might only walk, or you may crawl, but keep working your way to the end of the valley, because God is God of the valley too.
Amen. Well, it's just not fair. That's a good person. I don't understand why God lets him go through all that.
God's God of the valley too. The greatest people in Scripture were in the valley, is what made them great. Psalm 139, the Bible gives us another couple verses here. Psalm 139, I'll read these verses to you. Verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse number 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Can I tell you something? God's God no matter where you're at. Thank God we serve Jehovah God. And please take this to heart. We serve the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and it's not Buddha who's the other, Confucius or Muhammad or any of the others. Well, it's the same God, just different names. You're a filthy liar. That is a lie out of hell. Just so you know. We are to serve the only true God.
Yes, sir. Right.
The creator.
Amen.
And may I say this? God doesn't live in the valley. He said he would meet you there.
That's
right. God didn't say he lived where you are. He said he would go through it with you. By the way, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And he is there wherever you are.
Amen.
Do you know there are no uh-ohs with God? You know, God doesn't look down and say, uh-oh, now what? You know, I know what I mean when I say, uh-oh. And when I say, uh-oh, my wife says, oh, no, what now? You see, God doesn't live there, but he can meet you in the valley. The Syrians mocked the Christians and said, oh, he's the God of the mountaintops, but we'll meet you in the valley, and he's not God of the valley. And God said, let me show you what I can do. You may see the steep, rugged sides and the darkness hovering around, but God is there and can keep you going. God is there and can keep you going. My wife asked me this week. We were together and she knew I was speaking yesterday at the ladies' meeting. And she said, is it going to be hard for you? I said, it's always hard speaking to a group of ladies. When you're the only man in the room, it's intimidating. She said, that's not what I'm talking about. She said, Mother's Day's coming and Mom being in heaven. And I said, no. I said, my mom's having a good Mother's Day this year because she's with her mom and my dad's mom. I said, I'm okay with that. I can't tell you I haven't thought about it a bunch. I can't tell you that I haven't thought through it. I can't tell you that I haven't missed my mom. Matter of fact, I have. But as I said to the ladies yesterday, I got a lot of people that stepped up and kind of filling in the slots. You see, even though it may be dark, you can keep going. You say, preacher, does your heart ever get sorrowful? I don't know that my heart ever stops being sorrowful. If you knew how many people I hurt for on a regular basis. I also thought of my son-in-law and his dad and his sisters facing their first Mother's Day without Sarah. My heart hurt. I realize that Nathan and Sarah's anniversary is this month. It can be hard on him. I've teared up for that as much as I have for myself, for my mom being in, not going to be here for Mother's Day. There's an 11-year-old girl that Nathan has at home that next week he's going to have to face a Mother's Day with a little girl at home and no mama. I count myself pretty fortunate. How about you? Yea, though I walk through the valley, but you can keep on going. You don't have to stop and dwell there. You may be tired. You may be sore. You may be confused. You may be scared, but you can keep going. The news is bad. Okay, the news is bad, but you can keep on going. It's cancer, preacher. I hate that word. I hate it. But can I tell you something? We can keep on going. We can keep on going. Say, well, it may take my life. Guess what? Something's going to take all of our lives someday, unless the Lord comes back.
Right.
Then how about we live without the distress of it, live on the top side, and realize God is still God.
Amen.
When my son and I went elk hunting for my 50th birthday, my wife and kids gave me an elk hunting trip out in Montana. I'm not sure if they loved me or they were trying to kill me. We camped at about 7,800 feet above sea level, and we hunted all the way up to 10,000 feet. And if you've never been at that kind of altitude, you don't understand. It's not like you can't breathe to where there's no air. You breathe the same volume, but there's not enough oxygen to make your body work. And your body works extra, so your heart's going. You feel your heart like it's beating out of your chest constantly. And you just get fatigued very quickly. Well, in about 7 or 8 days of hunting, I put almost 50 miles on boot leather. And none of it was flat. The first afternoon we got there, the guy says, okay, you're going up there. It's only a mile. But it was 2,300 vertical feet in a mile. Took me an hour and 15 minutes to get up there. And let me tell you, I was chugging. He said, I know it's chilly out, but get down to as little as you can wear and stand it, because by the time you get up there, you're going to be sweating. And take extra clothes and change when you get up there. I thought, yeah, right. Well, he was right. Man, I got out there, I'm peeling clothes off and wringing the water out and putting dry clothes on. And as soon as the sun starts peeking down behind the mountain, man, it started getting cold. Thinking, man, glad I got those wet clothes off, because if I had those wet clothes on, I'd be freezing my tail off. Now, wait a minute. One of the days we were out there hunting, we had driven up to the back side of the mountain. We were actually on the back end of the mountain, and he said, okay, he said, preacher, how about you go down this way, follow this valley all the way around. He said, you'll recognize eventually where you're at and get back to camp. Okay. Say, how long had you been there? A day and a half, never seen where I got dropped off. I said, okay, follow the valley, right? Yeah, follow the valley. Well, he didn't tell me it was about a 4-mile walk. So I dipped down in this valley, and man, it's just like this everywhere. And you're trying to find these ridges to walk and get out. I kept walking and walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. And oh, God, help me, Jesus. You say, well, what about your cell phone? You might as well pick up a rock. They're worthless. You say, well, what about walkie-talkies? They're worthless. It's too steep a country, and the frequencies don't travel up there. It doesn't work. You're on your own. And you're thinking, if I do shoot something, what am I going to do? This thing's as big as a horse, 700, 800, 900 pounds. You're not going to gut it and drag it that far. So you got a backpack and you got to saw their bones apart, cut them apart, and stick them in your backpack and make trip after trip after trip after trip. I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. What did I get myself into? I remember walking and walking and walking. And then I got twisted around once. And I thought, surely it's not that far. So I walked up and I looked and I just came back from that way. I just keep on going. And I'm serious. About four and a half hours I walked. Finally, I came out and I said, I know that road. I got down to the road and walked the rest of the way up to where we were camping. But there were times I was down there thinking, oh, Lord, if the sun goes down, I do not know where I'm going to end up. Will they send a rescue party? I know I've got some matches. I'll figure out how to stay warm, but it's going to be a long night. Can I tell you something? When those times come and you feel like giving up, keep on going. Had I given up, it would have been the wrong thing to do. You just got to keep on walking. Keep on going. And when the valleys of life and the distress and the stress of life comes, keep on walking. I don't know how many times I've told God, God, I'll keep picking them up if you keep putting them down. As long as I've got strength to pick it up, you can help me put it down. I'm going to keep on walking. I may not walk fast. I may crawl, but I am going to keep on going. How about you? So, God is still God in the valleys. Number two, listen to this. Ahaz allowed stress and distress to keep him in the valley. Ahaz allowed stress and distress to keep him in the valley. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, look at verse 20. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the kings, the prince, but he helped him not. Verse 22, and in the time of distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. Ooh. Notice the word trespass. Do you know what the word trespass means? It means crossing a line that is not yours to cross. If you have a property, piece of property, and you post on the edges of your property, no trespassing, which means without permission, don't come across here. And in West Virginia, that means duck because you're going to get shot. Amen? In other words, you're crossing into an area that is not your area to go into. Watch this. Ahaz trespassed against the Lord. He took the articles out of the temple and gave them to false gods. He gave them to evil people as a payoff to try to get strong to get rid of some of his stress. Folks, we are not to use the things of God in a wrong way. I'm against these preachers that get up and say, oh, trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They're not reading the same Bible I have. Jesus was perfect and they crucified him. How'd that turn out, huh? God never promised to keep you from having problems. He said, I'll go with thee. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he never promised you'd never have a problem. Say, why? Because you're a sinner. So am I. And there are consequences and things placed on us because we're sinners and every other person in this world is a sinner. We're going to face those hard times. So he used religious things that were not under his authority to pay for government things. It's time for the government to keep the hand off the church. And it's time for the church to stay out of the government. It's time for us to live righteously, get people saved, teach them what the truth is, and vote the right people in and the wrong people out. Oh, preacher, what are we going to do with the current president? Well, don't worry. Kamala will take over before too long. Then you'll be more worried than ever. Can I tell you something? The problem isn't in the White House. The problem is in the church house. I don't blame the Democrat Party. I blame sissy britches preachers who are afraid to proclaim the truth. What happened to men of God who would stand up and preach righteous? Now they cower and hide. Everybody doing all right? Well, you just met one that's got a backbone. Not too awful long ago, a lady came here. She said, "I have never met a man like you." I said, "Don't blame me for the men you hang around." You say, "Preacher, you didn't." I did. Sorry. It's in me sometimes. I get tired of this sissy britches stuff. I'm not about to sit on the association. I'm not going to sit down and eat dinner with people that deny the Bible is the Word of God, that deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that believe you get to heaven by your own merit, not by what Jesus did. I'm not eating a meal with those kind of people. And besides, most of them don't even know how to put the shirt on. They got the collar on backwards. They call them father and they dress like mother. I'm not sitting down with people like that. And anybody that gets up and says that he can absolve your sins is an antichrist, not a religious leader. You see, he used the things of God to buy off the government. Listen to me carefully. Woe be to these churches that are going to take government money to help them through COVID. Because government control is on the rise. Government can keep their stinking money. Say, "Preacher, our banker at the height of COVID called me and said, 'Pastor, how's things going?' I said, 'We're doing great. Offerings are up. Attendance is good.' He said, 'Really?' He said, 'I'm doing these PPE loans or whatever they called them, PPP loans or something or other.' He said, 'I've got many churches that are applying for these special government loans to help them through COVID.' I said, 'Not me.' I said, 'Go look at your bank register and find out we're a month ahead on our payment.' He said, 'Well, if you need help, we'll get you one of these government loans.' I said, 'You can take your government loan and give it to somebody else.'" Say, "Why, preacher?" "Because I'm not taking the government's money." Amen. Government money for our church means government control. It's coming. And you got a pastor that isn't going to do it. You say, "What are you going to do if they tell you to come shut your church?" I'm going to tell them to shut their mouth and leave my property. Amen. I did that to a pastor not long ago, and he chased them off the property. Had 6 police cruisers and about 10 or 12 police officers, and he just started screaming and hollering and told them, "Get out, get out, unless you come with a warrant, get out, get out. You have no business being here. You're disturbing the peace, you're disturbing church, get out of here." They ran. They knew they couldn't do anything. "Well, we just want to make sure the people are safe." He said, "Not in here, you're not, get out of here." Folks, we have given up all of our freedom just to keep ourselves from getting a virus. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say it's the government's job to keep you from getting a virus. They can't stop the common cold. It's a virus. I'm not saying it's not a real disease. Believe me, I had it. Almost 6 months, I haven't smelled or tasted anything. Stinking China. But I have been able to eat things I've hated my whole life. I don't even have to hold my nose. Just pop it down the hatch. I can't taste it. My dad made sauerkraut for Josh and Ruthann the other day. Because Josh loves it. I can eat it, but it's not one of those things that I want every week of my life, you know? And have you ever smelled sauerkraut cooking? All right, you wonder if somebody cooked a bad diaper or something, you know? Dad said, "I got sauerkraut on." I said, "Really?" He said, "You can't smell it?" I said, Mm-mm. When you can't smell sauerkraut, you got a bad smeller. Amen? By the way, Ahaz ran to the false gods, not to God. When distress comes, listen to me, don't run to the things of the world and the false religions. How about we run to God? When stress comes, you don't have to run to the alcohol. When stress comes, you don't have to run to the drugs. When stress comes, you don't have to run to your bedroom and close the curtains and sleep the rest of your life away. When stress comes, you don't have to shut the world off and say, I'm just going to stay inside these four walls and not see anybody, and all my problems will go away. No, they won't. Well, I'm just going to run away. I'll run somewhere else. It's got to be better somewhere else. Guess where the common denominator is? You take it with you. It's your ugly face. That's the common denominator. I have people all the time tell me, well, I'm going to run here. It'll be better there. Guess what? They have the same problems there you have here. Well, I'm going to go take a vacation. It's such a beautiful place there. Do you realize that you go to places that you call a place of vacation and people leave there by the bucket loads because they need to leave there to go on vacation? No place is perfect. We're so messed up in our thinking. Don't let stress and distress cause you to run to the wrong places. Do not run to the wrong place. Run to church.
Amen.
Run to the house of God.
Yes,
run to the house of God, not from the house of God. I get so weary of people saying, well, when somebody dies, the hardest place to go is church. It ought to be the easiest place to run to, not the hardest place. I sat right back there in my office at 9:20 on December 16th and got the phone call, Mom went to heaven. And at 10 o'clock, Shannon and her family were meeting with me in there. I didn't have anywhere to run. I was here. I couldn't wait to get here. I knew that morning I had to make the phone call about Mom going to heaven. Preacher, did that stress you? It's not a phone call anybody enjoys. But I've helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others make that same phone call. Back in September, I sat down with Nathan and his family, my own daughter and son-in-law's family, and I was on the phone with them one Saturday afternoon and helped them make the decision to take her off the ventilator. Is it easy? I didn't say it was easy, but you can't run and hide from it. You got to do what you got to do. Hey, how about we run to the house of God, not from God? And by the way, don't blame God. That's what Ahaz did. He blamed God because God wasn't fixing his problems. But for 16 years, Ahaz was a terror, evil man, running away from God. Why should God help him? Walk through the valley. Hey, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Remember they went through the fiery furnace? They told Nebuchadnezzar, look, our God will deliver us. But if not, let me ask you a question. Did God keep Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from going into the fire? No. But he kept the fire from burning them. They went in, bound in chains, came out with no chains and not even smelling of smoke. That's better than some Christians today. Now watch this. God didn't say he'd keep you from the fire, but he said he'd go through the fire with you. The song we sang just a little while ago, some through the water, some through the fire, some through the flood, but all come through the blood. Hey, God never promised that you would have a life of ease. Quit blaming him when things don't go the way you want. Quit playing God. Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say, throw your problems at God's feet and walk away. He said, bring it to me. I'll hook up with you and I'll pull with you, but you're going to pull your weight. He said, I'll get into the yoke and the harness with you, and I will pull with you, but don't you blame God because you brought it to the church, laid it to the altar, and walked out, and God didn't do anything. God's not welfare.
Amen.
He's not going to do it all for you. You're going to pull your part of this. You do your part, God will take care of the rest. So, God is God of the valleys, number one. Number two, Ahaz trespassed. He went into areas it was not his to go into. And number three, every valley is a decision-making time. Every valley is a decision-making time. In the book of Joel, verses 13 and 14, let me find it here for you. The Bible says that, hang on here. I was going to quote it, and then all of a sudden my mind went blank. What's that? Yeah, I know what that part of it is, but the other part of it's the one I want. Hosea, Joel, Amos. There we go. You're preaching out of a new copy of the Bible here, and it's just, I can't find anything in here. Here you go. Put ye in the sickle, verse 13, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down. For the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Can I tell you something? In the valley of decision, notice it's in a valley. The most important times of your life are when you are in that valley. Listen to me very carefully. When you're under stress and distress, walk by principle, not by emotion. Walk by counsel, not your feelings. I don't understand why we have to make the biggest decisions of our life when we don't have enough sense to make them. To you young people, you teenagers, listen to me. You have to make the biggest decisions of your life when you don't have enough sense to make those decisions. That means when you're in those valleys of decision, you ought to let somebody that's good at making decisions help you make those decisions. I am not asking to be God in your life. But some of you would be wise to let your preacher be a veto power. I promise you. I've helped people through tens of hundreds of thousands of decisions in my ministry. I've seen people make good decisions, and I've seen people make really bad decisions. Everybody doing all right? You see, did you know that you can trust what God says over what man says any day? Too many of us want to trust what man says over what God says. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 7. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. And that's not the right verse. 2 Corinthians. I can't even read my own writing. I knew as soon as I started reading, it wasn't right. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Too many people walk by feeling and not by faith. Well, preacher, you just don't understand my feelings. I have the same feelings you have, but I just don't let my feelings make my decision. Well, follow your heart. Your heart will help you make the right decisions. Wrong answer. Fellas, remember that car that you love so much that you just had to get? Remember how much trouble it became and how much money it cost you? You followed your heart. How good was it? Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? My emotions are tainted by sin. The word of God is not tainted by sin. And we are to make decisions based off the word of God, not our emotions. There are things I do because I'm supposed to do them, not because I feel like doing them. Please don't get mad at me for saying this. Do you think I really felt like preaching my mom's funeral? Think I really felt like preaching after mom passed away? You think I feel like preaching sometimes when I have to preach? No. But it doesn't matter what my feelings are. Do you think I felt like preaching Sarah's funeral for my dear friend Nathan and my son-in-law? I told my wife, this isn't fair. She said, but honey, you have experience. Yeah, you know what experience means? You get to do all the things nobody else wants to do. You think I felt like preaching going up to Maine 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when Brother Rick Walter died of cancer? Walk into a church where they just buried their pastor and try to help them. Preacher, you just got so much experience. Yeah, you get all the trashy jobs. You know how many preachers walked up to me at Sarah's funeral and said, man, am I glad you're preaching? I would have said no. I can't do this. I said, I can't tell them. No, I love them too much. Huh. You see, let principles decide for you, not the situation. Let principles decide. By the way, it takes the stress of the decision off of you. Too many of you make too many decisions in life because you do it event by event by event by event by event and don't have the principles of the Word of God to guide you. I don't stress about making decisions. Most of them are already made right there. It's real simple. We have my daughter's wedding was back in June. And I put together a little booklet. It's probably 30, 40 pages for when somebody wants to have a wedding here at the church. It's got A to Z, everything you need, how to do it, all the forms to fill out, when to do what, everything. It's very complete. Well, my daughter said, but Daddy, I want this. I said, can't have that. She said, but Dad, I want it. I said, don't care. And yes, it would look nice. I agree with you, but it's against what the policies are for the church. So you're not having it. But, I said, you can ask me 100 times, and 100 times I'm going to tell you the same thing. No. But that was your daughter, preacher, so? Doesn't matter if it's your daughter or my daughter. The answer's still no. A little bit later, she wanted something else. Matter of fact, she had got ahead of me, and I said, you're going to fix that. My wife, but, I said, mm-mm. If I break the rule for her, I break it for everybody from here on out, and might as well throw the rule away, and we're not throwing the rule away. It's in there for a certain reason. They had to backpedal a little bit. I wasn't mean. I wasn't nasty. I was ugly, but that doesn't change. You just have to do what you have to do. Say, why? It's a principle. I didn't let the emotion of the situation determine what it was. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Ahaz let his emotions cause him to get in worse trouble by throwing out principles and trying to decide how he felt let him lead him. Look what kind of trouble he got into based on his emotions. He destroyed the house of God. He worshiped false gods. He gave God's money to heathen nations. Kind of sounds like our president. I've got to quit. You cannot keep the valley from coming into your life. But you don't have to build a house there. I can't stop the valley from coming to you. But I can stand there and help you say, keep on walking. Take another step. Let's get through this together. Don't stop. Keep going. Hey, you don't have to stop and live in the valley. There's a verse, hundreds of times it's used in the Bible, and it came to pass. Did you know the valley comes to pass? That means you got to get through it. You see, it may be rugged. It may be dark. It may be narrow. It may be causing some fear, and it may seem to have no end, but if you keep on going, you'll find an end. I promise you. How do you make it through the valley? I just gave you the key. The key to it. Realize that God's the God of the valleys. You don't have to trespass into areas that are not yours. Live by principle and keep on going. Every head bowed, every eye closed.